Well, thank you. So gracious. Welcome and good morning. I wanted to thank Randy Gant for coming and scraping our parking lot this week and making a way for all of us to come to church today. We had talked about, I don't know if you guys remember, but during COVID, I made a statement and I said, if I can get to church, then we'll always have church. We'll never close. And so when I woke up last week and I saw the snow and I tried to get out, I thought, why did I say that? Well, that wasn't really smart for me to say. So I was trying to get, you know, systematically go through, okay, how am I going to get to church? And I thought the thing that I resorted to was this. I can at least put my running shoes on and get here. You know, I'm going to have to run 3 miles, but I can do that. And then I thought, wait a minute, there's a better way. And I called Troy Nickel, and he came in his four-wheel drive and picked me up. And so there were only three of us here last week for church. And I know that many of you watched online and joined us, but I want to tell you something. It's much, much better for me. I don't know if it is for you. I hope it is. But to speak to you in person, I mean, it's such a makes such a difference. And so today, we're going to look at something that I think maybe many of you have thought of for 2025, and how to thrive and what that looks like. Last week we talked about Revelation 12:11 that says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they were not afraid to die. And the thing that we centered on the most was the word testimony, and that we all have stories, and we can all relate to what we were like before we found Christ or before he came into our lives, and then after. And for me, my life since being a Christian has, you know, completely and totally been transformed. And years ago, I used to concentrate more on the before I was a Christian, before I was a believer, the way I was. But as I've grown and in my relationship with Jesus and developed in that, what I've discovered is my testimony or my message is about God's faithfulness as toward me as a believer as well. And so I want to encourage you, all of you have a testimony. All of you have a message that God has done in your life, how he has been faithful to you, how he has shown up in your life, and what he has done. And that's all based on what Revelation 1:17 says, that Jesus is alive forevermore, and he holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And so if we're going to be overcomers and we're going to thrive in 25, the backdrop of that is that it's really the finished work of Christ, that he's already prevailed over darkness. He's already been victorious over the enemy, over death, over hell, over the grave, and all those things. And he has the authority, and he still has the authority, and he's always going to have the authority. And the good thing about being in the kingdom of God is he shares that with you and I. He's so generous toward us that he wants us to be a part of living that victorious life. And so as we begin today, there's a verse in Psalm 118, and we find it in verse 25. And I want to read verse 24 to you because it goes right along with how we started our time together about the joy of the Lord. And verse 24 says this, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it." You see that? I will rejoice. And so for us to be joyful and for us to rejoice, which means to be joyful over and over again, it's a decision that we make. It says, "I will rejoice and be glad in it." And I want to encourage you, make 2025, make one of the goals and one of the visions that God gives you, make it part of your life to will yourself to be joyful, to will yourself to be thankful, to will yourself to be grateful for all that God has done in your life. And then we get to verse 25, which is our basis for today. It says, "Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success." Is that what you want today? You want God to deliver you and save you, but also to give you success in your life? Does everybody want that today? Let's ask him. Lord, we come before you and we thank you that that this verse reminds us that we can be successful and you can save us, of course. And we know that you delight in that, Lord. That's what you really enjoy doing. Lord, you enjoy delivering us from ourselves and from our problems and for the tragedies that sometimes we find ourselves in. But aside from that, or part of that, is that you want us to be successful in all that we do. And so, Lord, let us thrive in 25. Let us be people that are successful and are overcomers and are able to transcend where we're at to where you want us to be. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. One order of business that we need to clear up before we get into this today is the idea that God wants you and me to be successful. I think sometimes we don't realize that, or we think that success are for being successful, or the blessing of God in our lives, or for people that are more fruitful, or people where they're more spiritually mature, or maybe more deserving. And I think that gets in our minds sometimes. We think that we have to deserve or do everything perfect and do everything right before God will bless us, or before God wants to prosper us, or before we know that God wants us to be successful. And so I want to get this out of the way right from the start, is that God wants you to be successful. He wants you to succeed in life. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to prosper. That's what God wants for you. He doesn't want to just save you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants to make your way so straight and so clear and so concise that you can't miss his will in your life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that that's what God's will is for you, for each one of you today? So probably a good place to start would be just to say it. Say, Lord, I believe that you want me to be successful. You want to bless my life. Just say that. Say it right where you're at. Lord, you want to bless my life. Rick Renner says this. He says, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal God's blessings, promises, provisions, and plans to you and me. That's what God wants to do. And so we just have to receive it and believe it and know that that's what his will is for my life and for your life as well. When you talk about success, there's a lot of different ideas about success. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you have people that are successful in business. You have successful athletes. You have successful stage performers. You have people that are successful in their relative fields that they are gifted in or that they've been trained in. And so success can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Wouldn't you agree with that? But probably one thing that emerges or comes to the surface is, maybe you don't think this way, I hope you don't, but it always has to do with money, doesn't it? Like, if I can accumulate or get more resources or more money, then I'll be successful and then I'll be happy. And so there's the idea with that as well. So the world has a definition of what success looks like. Wouldn't you agree with that? The world, has what, as I said, these different categories of what that looks like. But I think some other characteristics would be maybe independence, or maybe we don't have to rely on people. As I said earlier, the more money or more things you can accumulate, maybe what kind of car you drive, or what you look like, or how much, where you live, you know, those type of status things. The thing about those type of things, there's a couple misnomers about that. First thing is this, that you can have all those things, but it could be on paper, you know, and you really don't own them. You're just kind of making monthly installments toward those things. So you think, well, is that really, you know, is it meaningful to me then? Am I really successful? Because you can look like you play the part, but you may not have anything to show for it, really, once it's all, cleared away. I think the other thing that we can forget about is that what is successful to one person may not be to another person. And so you have people that live their lives based on what other people think is successful. and we try to fit into that mold of what we think people want us to be or what their definition of success is. And so we try to become that so that we look good in other people's eyes. All right. Another thing could be, and I think that this shows up from time to time, is that am I doing what I love and am I getting paid for it? Like that could be deemed as successful as well. So what does it mean? What does that look like? Even in different cultures, success looks different, doesn't it? But wouldn't you agree that most of the world looks to America as its model of what success is? Wouldn't you agree? Like nations and other cultures are looking at America and saying, well, if we could just achieve what the Americans have and the way they look and the way that they are, then we would be successful just like they are. And so it means different things to different people. But when it's all said and done, there are some things that are the same all over. And I think it has to do with independence. I think it has to do with, it could have to do with recognition or notoriety. It could have to do with influence and status. Of course, money's in there somewhere. Money and resources are in there. And so that's the world's system of what success looks like. So the goal for this message today, the time that we're together, is that there are three ways that you can look at it. You can look at it from what we just mentioned, the world's view of what success is. You can look at it for what you deem as being successful. And then what we're going to really spend most of the time on is how the Bible defines success and what does Jesus say about being successful. And hopefully, your vision and view of success will mirror what God says and deems as successful. And if it's not, then there will be an alignment process that happens, that you and I will begin to make that transition into what God says is successful versus what I say is successful. Okay, does that make sense? All right. So in the Bible, this word, and there's a few words for the word success, but the one that I'm going to refer mostly to today is found 65 times in the Bible. And Strong says it like this. It's often used in the context of achieving success or advancement, whether it's in personal endeavors, leadership, or spiritual growth. And what it implies is a sense of divine favor or blessing that leads to success. Okay? So it starts off like this. It starts off with there's a divine, we'll say it like this. It's like where God is smiling on your life. There's a sense of divine success or divine favor that then translates into the material realm, or in a material sense of resources and also of ability and success in what we put our energy in and what we put our hand to do. Does all this make sense this morning? Okay, so that's what the Bible says about it. The Bible says it starts off in a context of a having divine favor with God. And when we have divine favor with God, it plays out a natural process then, or a natural result, is success in our everyday life. But the biblical sense, it starts in the context of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. And so it goes down into words like favorable, achievement, good fortune, prosperity, even to the point of gaining wealth and advancing, but also thriving. And that's what God wants for you and me in our lives. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to advance. He wants us to prosper. He wants to bless us with good fortune. He wants us to be favorable and achieve what He has put in our hearts to do. And so as a result of that, the byproduct then of this, of being in His presence and of knowing Him, is that we are successful in our lives. Now, that might look different for a lot of different people, but ultimately, when you know Jesus, you're going to be successful. Okay? When you know Jesus and you grow in your walk with Him and you grow in your relationship with Him, you will be successful. I think sometimes we think that in the biblical sense, this type of success just naturally happens. But it's really finding God, finding His will, and doing what He wants us to do. And I want that for my life. I want to be where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do. And if I can do that, if I can find that and discover that, then I'll be successful. How many of you feel like that the will of God is elusive? The will of God is elusive. Does anybody feel that way? You might not want to admit it. How many of you feel like the will of God is mysterious and only few find it? Like, we can never really know for sure what God's will is for my life or what I'm supposed to do or where I'm supposed to go, that we just kind of stumble into it. Or it's only for those that are really spiritually mature, that have this certain type of relationship with God, that He tells them things, but He doesn't tell just us who are just kind of normal, average, everyday people. He doesn't really reveal His will to us. He only reveals His will to those that are super spiritual and those who are really connected and dialed into what God's doing. Do you believe that? Right? Okay. How many of you know that's not true? He wants you and I to know what His will is for your life. That's His desire. And in that process, when you discover that, the natural byproduct is success and the blessing and the favor of God in our lives. And so it doesn't have to be mysterious, and it definitely doesn't have to be elusive. But when you know Him, you'll know His will. And when you know His will, but by the way, does God know everything about you? Is there anything that He doesn't know about you? He knows every single thing about you, every detail, every nook and cranny of your life. Well, then, shouldn't it be our endeavor for our lives to know Him then in return? Like, shouldn't that be what we want more than anything else, is to know Him more than anything? So if we put success above knowing God, then we're left without. But if we put knowing Him first, like Matthew 5:33 says, all these things will be added unto you. And so that should be our goal and our, if we want to thrive in 25. How do you know it? Well, the first thing I think we can, it's pretty basic, but we might forget about it. How to know God's will. I'm going to give you, this isn't in your notes, by the way, so you want to write these down. How do you know God's will? The first one is, have you ever asked Him? Have you ever asked Him? Many people, they just think that it's just going to happen. Or, you know, if just by chance, or if all the stars align like they're supposed to, and we're perfect in all that we do, and we do all the right things, then we'll know God's will for our lives. Listen, when was the last time you asked God what His will is for your life? Have you asked Him lately? Like, Lord, where do you want me to be, and what do you want me to do in my life? What do you want to do in my life? Have you asked Him that lately? And that might seem like, and I don't want to be sarcastic in saying that, but that's like number one. Like, we got to ask Him. And how do we hope to know what His will is if we don't ask Him? But when was the last time you asked Him? When was the last time you and me said, okay, God, I'm available for You to speak to me in my life. I want to hear Your voice, and I want to do Your will. So, Lord, what is it? What do You want me to do in my life? And so that's a kind of a bit of a dangerous question. Maybe the reason we don't ask is because we're afraid of what the answer will be. Right? We're afraid that He's going to have us do something that we don't want to do, or we'll be miserable at, or, you know, it'll be this burden that we'll have to carry throughout our life, you know, and it'll be one of those things. But we have to ask Him first. Now, the Scripture says in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, that when we ask, seek, and knock, that the door will be opened unto us, that the answer will be revealed to us if we ask, if we seek, and we knock. And then the other thing he gives as an illustration of that in Matthew 7 is he says, what man would ask for a piece of bread and God would give you a rock? Or what person would ask for a fish and God would give you a serpent? So when you ask God for what his will is for your life, he's going to give you the answer that you need. It's not going to be something that you're not asking for. He's going to give you what you're asking for. And I think that's important for us to remember. The other thing that we have that I think we forget about a lot of times is what Psalm 119, 105 says, and that is, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have the word of God to show us which way we're supposed to go and how we should live our lives and what God's will is for you and for me. It's not elusive, you guys, but here's the challenge, all right? You got to read it. You got to read it so that you know what it says. And I guess I have job security because a lot of Christians don't read their Bibles and they leave it up to the pastor to tell them what it says. So I'm always going to have a job. So I guess that's good, that part. But as good as I am, which isn't great, you don't want to leave that responsibility to me. You guys got to know God's word yourself. You got to go to the oven every day and get that fresh bread out every day. You don't want to just eat once a week when you come, or for some of us, once a month or a couple times a month, right? We want to eat fresh bread every day. So don't leave it to the leaders or the pastor for your revelation. You got to get revelation. And what revelation is, it's revealed truth. God can reveal his truth to you and me in our lives. And then, of course, we have the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will teach you, he'll remind you of all those things that were said. And so the Holy Spirit will guide and direct you and me in our lives if we listen to his voice and we do his will. So that's number one. How do you know the will of God? Ask him, okay? And these other ones I'm going to go through pretty quick. I won't spend a lot of time on all of them, but you can write these down. Second one is this: do you have peace in your heart about it? Whatever it is you're going to launch into, or decision you're going to make, or new thing that you're going to try or do, it could be a new job, it could be who you're supposed to marry, it could be a lot of different things. Does it bring peace to your soul? Or are you anxious about it? Are you stirred up about it? Are you unsettled? Because if you're unsettled about a decision that you're going to make, then you probably shouldn't do it. God's will for your life is for you and I to be at peace with the decisions that we make. And if we're always anxious about things and we're always stirred up about things, then it might not be a decision that we need to make, at least for that moment. Number three is this: does it bring joy to your life? Does it bring joy to your life? God's will should be joyful for you and I. And we could even define that as being happy. God wants you to be happy. Do you believe that? God wants you to be happy. I thought for a long time that this, being in the ministry, that being miserable was part of it. Like I just had to resolve that. Like, okay, but you know what? No, your life doesn't have to be that way. My life doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to live a miserable life. We can live joyful. We can live happy and fruitful lives. That's what God wants for you in your life. And that's what his will is. When you say, I want God's will for my life, his will is that you be joyful. He wants you to find joy in living and serving him. Number four, does it violate his word? Which means, does it go against his commandments, his precepts, his written word of God? Does it violate it? Does it go against it? Is it contrary? You have talked to people and they have a decision they're going to make, and it's real clear, well, you shouldn't do this because this is what it says. You know, well, God just wants me to be happy. Well, you divorcing your wife and hooking up with so-and-so, what's God's word say about that? See, does it violate God's word? Is it what he says? Number five, Does it violate your conscience? Does it violate your conscience? So I'll give you an example. I was looking for some new tires for my truck, and I found some. I knew because they were so cheap, because it came with the rims too. And I was like, this doesn't seem right, you know. But I thought, hey, I'm going to check into this. Maybe, you know, this person's hard up for cash or whatever. So I messaged them. And, oh, yeah. But one of the clues that I should have been aware of is the way that they wrote back to me, because it was kind of like in broken English, you know. It's like, okay. But hey, whatever. I'm not going to judge people because of that. But it was in the back of my mind. But I thought, it could be a scam, you know. So I was ready to pull the trigger on this thing, and the Lord said, do not buy those. And I was like wrestling with it. I was like, Lord, this is a great deal. I mean, come on. I mean, I get the rims and the tires for cheaper than the tires would be by themselves. And Lord just said, don't do it. Don't do it. Well, of course, I listened. I pretty well made a decision that I wasn't going to do it. And I went back to tell the guy that I wasn't going to do it. And the ad was, it disappeared. It was gone. You know, it was completely gone. Now you could say, well, maybe somebody bought them. I don't think so. I think it was a scam. I really do. Does God know your future? If he speaks something into your life, in your conscience, and you know that you should do something or not do something, you follow that leading. And don't violate your conscience. Even though the Word of God, you might say, well, you know, I have room to be able to do this or not do this, because maybe the Bible doesn't come right out and say, do not buy these wheels. Maybe the Bible doesn't say that. But you know what? God in his Spirit knows what's best for you and for me in our lives. And it'll save us a lot of hardship and a lot of pain. And it's not necessary. We don't have to go through that stuff if we'll listen. I told you a story a while back about when my first son was born, and Deb and I, we were making, at the church, I took a pay cut to be a senior pastor, and I was making $1,000 a month, and out of the $1,000 a month, I had to pay my taxes and my tithe out of that. So I had to be bivocational for quite a while, and started working two other jobs besides that. And the second job I took, I knew I wasn't supposed to do it. The Lord told me not to do it. But I did it anyway, because I did it based on money. And it was based on fear. It was based on, how is God going to take care of me if I don't take this job? And you know what? It was terrible. It was a terrible situation. It wasn't a good... I learned a lot through it, but I violated my conscience. I knew I shouldn't have done it, and I did it anyway, and my decision was based on fear, and it was based on not having enough. So don't violate your conscience. Number six, does it bring fulfillment and purpose to my life? Does it bring fulfillment and purpose to my life? Whatever it is God wants you to do, it'll always bring fulfillment, and it'll always fulfill the purpose that you were destined to be and to become. God loves you, and he has a plan, and he has a purpose for your life. Do you believe that? I mean, that's the cliche. It must be true. Jesus loves you, and he has a plan for your life, right? What does that mean? It means that whatever it is, the plan of whatever it is, you will find, you will be fruitful, you will be fulfilled, and it'll meet the purpose that God has for you in your life. Number seven, is God's grace on it? Is his grace on it? What does that mean? It means you feel God's favor or his pleasure in the situation or the circumstance that you have found yourself in. My wife and I, we were experienced enough to know that if we were to come back to Salina, that we would be taking over a position of someone who is very beloved in our church and our community. And I had been a supervisor in our mid-south district over 120 churches, and I helped negotiate those situations, and I can't remember one that worked out good. When you took over for a pastor that was the founding pastor, who was beloved and who was there for 40 years, that never works out. Usually there's a sacrificial lamb that comes in after that guy. He's chewed up, and then the next guy comes in. He's the hero. That's usually how that happens. And so when we came here, one of the things that God promised us was that it would go well with us. And I have not ever felt the grace of God in my life more than I have in the last 5 or 6 years. The favor of God, that wherever we turn and whatever we do, God smiles on it. It hasn't been easy. It's been challenging, of course. But if the favor of God is in your life, if his hand is heavy and evident in what you're doing, you'll be able to go through and you'll be successful in whatever you put your hand to do. God will smile on you. And so, what is God's will for your life? The grace of God, his favor, his provision, his pleasure. That's what you want to feel more than anything else. That's what you want to experience more than anything. You want to know that God is with you in what he's called you to do. And if he's not, it could be the greatest thing in the world. And it can pay the most money that you've ever made in your life. But if God's not in the middle of it, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be unhappy. You're going to be unfulfilled. And you know what you'll do? You'll be looking for the next thing that comes around. But when you and I find the purpose and we know God's in it, then there's a great grace that's attached to it. Number 8, what do your wise and trusted counselors think? And the Bible says there's a multitude of wisdom and many counselors. And so we want to be very selective of who we surround ourselves with, of people that we trust, people that have a great track record, people that have experience in knowing and hear the voice of God also to partner with us in that. And there are certain people that God has put in my life that I won't make a decision unless I talk to them first, unless I hear what their spin is on it or their perspective. I think that's real important. God puts people in your lives like that. Many times you're married to them and you don't even know it, you know, and they're there for a purpose and for a reason. All right. Number 9, is there confirmation by a prophetic word, a sign, a dream, an omen, a circumstance? I'll give you an example of that. The Lord told me to go do something and to go to somebody's house. And when I got the address, I looked at the address, and the address was a verse in Matthew of exactly what I was supposed to do. What do you think of that? You think that got my attention? It was like, okay, Lord, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. Because I didn't want to do it. But it's like, I know I'm supposed to, so I'm going to do it. But isn't it great when those confirming words and prophetic words and dreams and visions and omens and different signs, Jonathan Kahn calls them harbingers, different things that we see in the natural, but also in the spiritual sense, that give us insight into what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to go. And then finally, number 10, is the timing right? Because you can know God's will and you can want to do God's will, but if the timing isn't right, you can miss out on the whole thing. And then I'm going to give you a bonus one, and that's this. This is how I live my life. It's always yes until he says no. It's always yes until he says no. The Bible says that the promises of God are yes and amen. Now, I used to live my life like this. It was no until he said yes. But since I've grown in my walk with the Lord wants to bless us. He wants to make your life fruitful. He wants to encourage you with good things. And so it's always yes. It's always yes until he says no. See, my kids, when they were growing up, they would know who to go to for what. I mean, they got pretty good at this. They got pretty smart at that. And as long as it didn't disrupt my life, they knew that they could come to me and I would say yes to everything. As long as it didn't disrupt something, they didn't tear something up or scratch the car or something like that, then it was all good. But the moment it caused me problems, and the moment it cost me money, it was usually that, you know. Then they knew that, no, I better go to mom for that. But I want to tell you something. God's will for you and me is yes and amen, all right? Now, I'm going to give you two examples and we're going to close out today. Before we get to the two examples, I want to give you this another definition of this word success. And this is cool. You're going to love this, all right? In the book of Judges and the book of 1 Samuel, there's a phrase that stands out. And the phrase is this: came mightily upon, all right? And so one of the definitions of success is that God came mightily upon that person. And it's only really found in Judges and 1 Samuel. But what's cool about it is look at the result, and you'll know the story. The story was of Samson and other men of God too. But do you remember what it says about Samson? That when God came upon him, then he did all these exploits and he was successful. You remember that? Like he defeated the Philistines and he was able to do all these things when God came upon him. But when God wasn't upon him, what happened to him? He usually got into some trouble, didn't he? He usually found himself into some trouble or some precarious situations. So the takeaway from that is, if we want to be successful, let the Lord come upon you. Let his presence overshadow you, and let his will be done in your life. So very quickly, two examples of that. The first one is Joseph in the Bible. Genesis 39. You guys know about Joseph. He's a great man of God. Interesting thing I love about Joseph is most of the time in personality, if someone is spiritual, they're usually not very good administratively, and vice versa. Joseph was both. He was an organizer, he was an administrator, but he was also a dreamer, and he was also very spiritual. And so when that gift mix came together, you know what it caused him? It caused him to be able to lead a nation out of poverty, and the known world at that time, it was the superpower of the day, Egypt. And Joseph became second in command and delivered the people from starvation because God gave him dreams and visions, but also gave him an administrative ability to know how to facilitate that and for that to happen. And here's what it says about Joseph, all right? Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything that he did. How many of you want to be successful in everything that you do? You want to be successful? You know it's possible? How is it when the Lord's with you? When the Lord's with you, you'll be successful in everything that you do. And it continues on. Verse 3, Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything that he did. All right? I want that for my life. I want to be like that. I want, not for success sake, but as a natural byproduct of me and Jesus having a great relationship with one another. Success is the outcome. Success is the result. You want to be successful? Number one, get as close to Jesus as you can. That's it. And then at the end of that chapter, verse 23 says this, the warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. You see it? When the Lord is with you, everything will be successful. And then finally, David. 1 Samuel chapter 18 says this, David continued to succeed in everything that he did, for the Lord was with him. When Saul recognized this, he became even more afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he was successful at leading his troops into battle. How many of you want to be successful and thrive in 2025? All right? How does it happen? Know the Lord. Know the Lord more and more and more. Let's stand together today. The Lord was with him. I think sometimes we have the idea that God has to arrange himself to us. But it's really the opposite. We have to arrange ourselves to him and do what he wants us to do and follow his leading and his agenda. Really. And when we do that, we're successful. How many of you for 2025, you say, Pastor Blaine, I want to know him more than ever before. Listen, my prayer for you, for Emmanuel, is that we would know, this would be a body of believers who know their God, who know Jesus. And when people come into this room, that they feel the presence of God. I mean, that's our prayer. That's what we want. That's what we want for you. That's what I want for your life. I want you to know God more and more and more. And so if that's your desire, let's ask him. Lord, we make ourselves available to you today. We make ourselves positionally as close as we can to you. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't miss out on what you have for us, but that we would be positioned to know you, and that we would take time to develop in our relationship with you. Let that be so, Father. Let us be that way. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.